what does Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai mean? So, first we have to say that the pure definition of Torah Min HaShamayim, before we define Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, important background in order to define Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai is to say that the pure definition of Torah Min HaShamayim, back to the first week, is that the concepts of Torah Shebaal Peh were given from Hashem to Moshe. Not that the Masechtas, not that Yuma and Bava Basra and Makos and Psachim and anything else were given to Moshe and he came down from Har Sinai with a Gemara Yuma or Gemara Bava Basra. He came down with the concepts of Torah Shebaal Peh. And the first concept of Torah Shebaal Peh, after the first 2 weeks that we spent on the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh through the ages, part one, and we had part two. So this is really our first week beyond the introduction. The first concept of Torah Shebaal Peh is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai means the following. And for this, everything has a makor. The Rambam, in the first of your Makoros, in his introduction, his Hakdama to Perish HaMishnayos, the Rambam has a Perish HaMishnah to each Masechta in Shas, and so there's also the introduction, has a lot more than just his Perish Mishnayos, if you'll permit me to say. The introduction is chock full with all of the concepts and some of the klalim, some of the rules and regulations of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam explains in his Hakdama to Perish Mishnayos, in his introduction, he said, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai is something binding and true on a Torah level that does not appear in the Torah itself. You will not find it in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. We're going to give a bunch of examples today, but you will not find it in the Torah itself. How do we know it's true then? If we can't find it in the Torah, Yonah, so how do we know it's true? The way we know it's true is simply, quite simply, because we have a tradition that Hashem told Moshe. That's part of the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh. We have a tradition that Hashem told Moshe. There are a handful of Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai in Shas, but overall not too many. And we're going to discuss a bunch of those examples of Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai and the way they were put together. There is another term used in the Gemara that's very similar, that you also have in your Makoros in front of you, but very similar to Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. And that's what some Rishonim assume is similar or even identical to Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's called Hilchasa Gemirila. Hilchasa Gemirila, you have in the bold Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, but then in other Makoros you have Hilchasa Gemirila. We derived a certain halacha, and that's assumed to be synonymous with Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. How do we know that something is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? Meaning, now that we've defined it, how do we identify it? How do we know that something is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai? Because on the one hand, we accept it, yet on the other hand, we can't really find a true source for it. And if it is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, how do we know we're doing it correctly? Doron, if it doesn't appear in the Torah, so then how do we know that we're doing it in the right way? So for this, we have the Yerushalmi in Peah. The Yerushalmi in Peah, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet, also in your Makoros, tells us, Amr Rabbi Zeira b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, im basa halacha tachas yadcha ve'in ata yodea mativa, you don't know its nature. If a halacha comes in front of you, al tafligena sharei kama halachos nemru L'Moshe Mi-Sinai v'chulhon mishukos, Amr Rabbi Avin v'yeyusi shnei minei chitim ilulei sheba nachum u'perish lanu yodin hayinu. We'll explain what this means in English. If a halacha comes your way and you don't know its nature or status, don't reject it. Your first approach should be not to reject it. Because many halachos were sent to Moshe at Har Sinai, and all of them are embedded in the Mishnah. We assume that an accepted tradition is valid because we suspect that it might be Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. We only call it that when we have an explicit tradition saying so. In fact, there is a phrase that appears several times in the Yerushalmi. The simple meaning is that teachers of the tradition of Torah Shebaal Peh use the word be'emes. When they use the word be'emet or be'emes in Torah Shebaal Peh, in truth, to keep track of which laws originate from Moshe, the usage of be'emes, the usage of that word, in truth, is a signifier of what is included in all of Torah Shebaal Peh. I want to give a number of examples, which is the bulk of today's shiur, of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. We said that there were a bunch. There aren't as many people think, but here we go. The first example, just before we get to that first example, we had mentioned before that some Rishonim hold that synonymous with Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is Hilchasa Gemiri La. But that's disputed upon by the Rambam. The Rambam holds that Hilchas HaGemiri La is not the same as Halacha Moshe Misinai. It's a true Halacha, but the way it differs is that the Chachamim could not remember how it was derived. And if the Chachamim could not remember how it was derived, so it's true. I don't think, you know, there would be many people who would question that, but it's not in the same category, not on the same status as Halacha Moshe Misinai. What's an example of Hilchas HaGemiri La? So, the Gemara in Bava Kamma in the second parak, how many people here have learned Bava Kamma? So, the Gemara in Bava Kamma in the second parak has the halacha of Chatzi Nezek Tzroros, which is the halacha that indirect damage by kicking up some pebbles as you're walking, as you're running, in the realm of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, there's no... There can never be a machlokas. So the fact that when you kick up pebbles and it's indirect nezek, it's indirect damage, so it's not, you're not going to have to pay nezek shalim, you pay chatzi nezek, that is assumed to be a halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Or the way that the Gemara also sizes it up, you have in front of you, this is the Gemara Bava Kamma, Daf Yitzayin Rebeis, mentions this, that is what's called the Hilchasa Gemiri La. Yes, Dorov. Because it's a question of whether it's actually Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Meaning, it's only according to some Rishonim, or really according to one Rishon, that Hilchasa Gemiri La, according to some Rishonim, Hilchasa Gemiri La is the same as Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. But according to that whole group, and it's probably not just the Rambam, who hold that, no, Hilchasa Gemiri La is its own category. So if the Gemara mentions, in Parakei Tzad HaRegel, if the Gemara mentions in the second Parak Bava Kamma, the Gemara you have in front of you, Yitzayin Mabez, that Hilchasa Gemiri La is something different, so then it is subject to machlokes. And therefore, meaning it would have to be agreed upon by everybody, that's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. There are some, in fact most that we're going to mention today in the next few moments, which are not disputed at all. They're assumed to be Halacha L'Moshe Misinai according to everybody. What are some examples of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? Undisputed ones, meaning we gave the first example, which is maybe the most intriguing because it's not Halacha L'Moshe Misinai according to everybody. The Chatzi Nezek Tzroros, the fact that if you kick up pebbles while you're walking or running and you damage someone, the fact you have to pay Chatzi Nezek, the Gemara in Bava Kamma in the second parak, that's not, according to the Rambam and maybe some other Rishonim, that's not Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. What are the examples of definite Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? So the first one we're going to give is a number of, and you can count them as different Halacha L'Moshe Misinais. This is the Gemara in Menachos on Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis. The Gemara in Menachos Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis is talking about a few related halachos to tefillin. The first one, and many people don't realize this when they become bar mitzvah, or even before bar mitzvah, they start putting on tefillin, and they don't realize that, first of all, they don't know what Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is, but even beyond that, they don't realize how undisputed, the idea of, for example, the ritzuos of the tefillin must be black. That is a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The fact that the ritzuos have to be black. What about the batim? So the actual boxes of the tefillin don't have to officially be, according to this, but nevertheless, all batim in our tradition are black. We have to then say that all batim are black, not because they're Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. If we know that the batim are not Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, hold on a second, if we know that the batim have to be black, but they're not black because of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, so what are they black because of? So the assumption according to Rishonim is that they're black because of Hidur Mitzvah. You're beautifying the mitzvah. Meaning, the fact that ritzuos have to be black, so you already have a part of the tefillin that has to be black. So to leave the batim, which the shel yad, the shel rosh, it would look a little bit off color, it would look a little bit pale if it wasn't black. If you kept it white, it would be lacking a little bit. So we say the fact that it has to be black is not because Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it's rather because of Hidur Mitzvah. Isaac.
Do the carrots believe in Halacha L'Moshe Misinai?
No, because that's part of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's a non-disputed part. That is a concept of Torah Shebaal Peh. Both that and next week's topic of Perush HaMekubal MiSinai are concepts of Torah Shebaal Peh which are not to be disputed. And particularly in Perush HaMekubal MiSinai, excellent question, particularly in next week's concept of Perush HaMekubal MiSinai, the Karaites disagreed even more than they did with Halacha Moshe MiSinai. But the fact that it's undisputed, the fact that you cannot dispute both Halacha Moshe MiSinai and Perush HaMekubal MiSinai, starting with concept number three, you can dispute. Those are drushos, those are what we have in Shas. We go down to afternoon Seder, we go to night Seder, even morning Seder, and we're debating different things, Be'i and Be'kias, we're sitting with a Gemara and a Chavrusa, so those are all drushos, those are all things that are expounded by the Gemara, those aren't things that we say, oh, they're not subject to Machlokas. Those have a back and forth, they have a Shaka Vatarya. Yeah?
There are popular tefillin skirts in Israel that other people have been compiling myself, where the buttons are black and they have white stickers on them.
White stickers are fine. Those stickers can stay on, and they stay on either on the outside part of the box, under, or, they usually appear there. But all batim are black, and they're black presumably because of heder mitzvah. It's interesting that the ritzuos need to be black, even though they're not an essential part of the tefillin. If you were to ask me, if you were to ask anyone, because the batim have the parshios, they have the cloth of the tefillin in them, so they're considered to be more essential. This proves, by the way, in case you needed a proof, this proves what? That halacha l'moshe MiSinai, that the concept of halacha l'moshe MiSinai can apply to an inconsequential area of the Torah. People say, oh, they only apply to consequential areas of the Torah. No, even if it's not as important, it's not as central as some other parts of the tefillin, you can have a halacha l'moshe MiSinai on an inconsequential part of the Torah. It's inconsequential, of course, in the sense that that it doesn't have writing in or on them. Halacha l'moshe MiSinai is so immutable that it even proves the following point. In olden days, the ritzuos that we have were much shorter than they are nowadays. And when our ritzuos were made longer, whenever that was, I don't know the exact year and time, but when they were made longer, the issue arose that maybe the extra long part can be white and need not be black. It was an extension, it was made longer, okay, so that longer part can be white, it can be another color. And the psak was issued that since all ritzuos are visible, the entire ritzua must be black. It's actually for this reason, and people should be careful about this, it's actually for this reason that it could be that your elementary school Rebbe, or when you first started putting on tefillin in 7th grade, or in year 8, and your elementary school or primary school Rebbe came over to you and said you have to make sure that the front part of your ritzuos have to always be showing, right? You can't show the tan, you know, the brownish part on the other side. And it's for this reason, because the ritzuos have to be black, the front side always has to be showing. So that's why people get very insistent on the front side showing. Yeah?
What about the ritzuos that made down the other side that black also?
So I haven't really seen those. And also, I don't think that they're the same. They're not the same material.
No, yeah. Right. The same material as the normal ones, it's just they're painted black.
Yeah,
it's right. Right, so I think that just the answer to your question is because you can tell the difference between the front and the back. So that's why people are insistent, oh, make sure that you have it on the official black leather part, the front part, and make sure that that's the one that's always showing. So since all ritzuos are visible, the entire ritzua has to be black. That's why the Rambam holds, by the way, that no matter the length of your ritzua, the entire part must be black, the entire front part. The Mishnah Berurah, we don't normally quote the Mishnah Berurah in 5,000 years Torah history, but we will here. The Mishnah Berurah points out, the Mishnah Berurah actually raises a doubt whether the inner part of the Ma'avarta must be black, which is the knot attached to the shel yad that gives it like a yud shape or a dalet shape attached to the yad. Because it's not seen. So because it's not seen, you see from the ritzuos that the backside or the side that's not being shown, so it doesn't need to be like minor brown. I don't know, you know, you were saying, Ari, that the newer ones also have black on the other side. But we say that for the Ma'avarta or for other parts of the tefillin, that the front side has to be black. The other side is either gray. It's also a different material, but it doesn't have to absolutely be black. Yeah, Daniel.
I think, like I learned enough, like I think they said that there are limitations of what color is the backside of the candy.
It could be. It could be that they do that. I'm just pointing to nowadays there have been a number of colors that were added. Meaning it's usually brown. Some have gray, but they definitely do not have black. They definitely do not have black. I want to continue with the next halacha Moshe Sinai, and that is that the shin of the tefillin has to be, is also, and the shin that appears on the shel rosh is also halacha Moshe Sinai. The three-legged shin on one side, the four on the other side, that's also halacha Moshe Sinai. I always give the example that if somebody walked into shul with a shel yad and shel rosh, but instead of the shin, they had an Under Armour logo on the side of their tefillin. And I mean this half seriously, but if they, I don't know anybody who would do this, but if somebody would do this, that person would be politely asked to leave. Meaning that tefillin would not be allowed in a shul. We would let a person know. He would stand behind the mechitza. He would take off his tefillin. You would give him another pair of tefillin. You would give him another pair of tefillin, and you would continue. So that the shin is also halacha l'moshe misinai. The Mishnah Berurah points out in Orach Chaim and Hilchos Tefillin Siman Lamed Beis that our shin is actually not b'lashon Ashuris. Ashuris is the regular Hebrew print that we have. These shins come to a point. The Sfardi Sefer Torahs, they have a shin, so they have a little bit of a different font. Their shins come to a base, comes to a flat base, but ours come to a point. Those shins, if you're imagining what you put on this morning, it's not b'lashon Ashuris, it's not in the classic Hebrew font, and even so, it's sufficient, because we don't need exactly the same shin, as long as it resembles the shin. The next halacha Moshe Sinai, we'll move over from tefillin. The next halacha Moshe Sinai is that of chatzitza. Chatzitza is something that's mentioned in a couple of different mesechtas in Shas. The Gemara in Nida on Daf Samech Zayin Amud Beis tells us that min haTorah, what constitutes a chatzitza, which is a separation, something that separates between your body and the mikvah water, or your body and tefillin, if you're putting on tefillin. Anything that needs to touch your body, that's why Rashi in Maseches Menachos, Maseches Zvachim also points out that long hair that's unusually long, is considered to be a chatzitza. Rashi actually rejects that in the same Rashi and says that it's what's called hani revisayu. It's its natural growth. But if it's unusually long, you should try to get a little bit of a haircut. But again, anything that's separating between your body and what's supposed to touch your body, this is learned from the pasuk in Parshas Metzorah, Rachatzas Besaro Bamayim, you're not allowed to, if you go to the mikvah, or if a woman who needs to go to the mikvah because she's a nida, and she's being mitaharet herself from the status of Nida, she cannot have any chatzitza, any interruption, anything between her body and the water. In fact, Rashi Maseches Sukkah on Davav Amud Beis, Rashi Maseches Sukkah, Davav Amud Beis, Dibur Maschel Dvar Torah, tells us the din of chatzitza is a halacha l'moshe misinai, like we mentioned. However, it uses a different term. And the term that it uses is not, I think you have this in front of you, but in one of the Mekoros, that it mentions the word Dvar Torah. It mentions the phrase Dvar Torah. Dvar Torah is assumed to be, by Rashi, as halacha l'moshe misinai. It's assumed to be the same thing as halacha l'moshe misinai. What are some examples of chatzitza? So hair, like we mentioned before, too much hair, or the exposed part of the nose, or things that are a little more practical, tooth fillings, bandages, braces are a discussion, scabs, stitches, cosmetics, lipstick, dirt under nails. Those are examples of chatzitza. I'll mention also, before we continue, we'll take two quick questions, and then I really want to continue. Yeah?
How does tooth filling and chatzitza, you're not opening your mouth open to mikvah?
No, so that's what they say, that you really have to keep your mouth shut. But a lot of people do have their mouth a little bit open, like they're not careful. So that's what they say, that if tooth fillings are, that in and of itself is machlokas. But we're not getting into, because that's more the halacha part, not so much the concept part of halacha moshe Sinai. Let's try to hold the questions a little bit. But that's another example. The next example is what the Gemara in Sukkah calls mechitzos. Mechitzos are partitions. Would we get more air if we close the door? Like, why is the door open? That means we just lose all the AC. Okay, so the Gemara in Sukkah tells us, the Amar Rabbi Chiya, Barashi, Amar Rav, this Gemara you should have in front of you, Shiurin Chatzitzin U'Mechitzin Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. What is the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai of Mechitza? So it's not just the Mechitzas that we put up in shuls. What is the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai of Mechitza? So the reason why this is in the first parak of Sukkah is for the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai of what's called good. Not the English word good, I mean, that's good too. But Gimel Vav Dalid. Good is a principle of a trick in Hilchos Mechitzos. When you put walls up, for something to be a Mechitza and to be a Kasher Mechitza, it needs to be a wall that's 36 inches, that's 10 tvachim tall, otherwise known as 3 feet. When it comes to a sukkah, if my schach is 10 amos up in the air and 10 feet away from the walls, the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai tells me that you can connect the walls to the schach based on what's called good asik mechitzda. Many people here have learned Maseches Sukkah, so we'll just tell you that once you make a wall of 10 tvachim, it tells you, once you make a wall of 10 tvachim, that wall is an imaginary line that goes all the way up to the sky. In Hilchos Shabbos, this is relevant also when it comes to Erevin. We have an Erev on Shabbos. People say that they don't hold from the Erev. So they hold from Hilchos Erevin, they just won't carry even if there's an Erev. So we say over here that in Hilchos Erevin, let's just say in Hilchos Shabbos, when it comes to Erevin, we apply good asik mechitzda to make an entire area into a private domain. You make an entire area into a Rishus HaYachid, and once you do that, you have a wall of 10 tvachim that makes your Rishus into a private domain. There's also the opposite, going in the opposite direction, called good achis mechitzda, where you start your walls from the top and you go all the way down to the ground. So that's no good, because the Gemara says, Gideon Bokenbo, you can have animals, you can have goats, that you have animals that can go under a wall, and that's not considered to be a wall. If animals are able to go under the wall and breach the wall, that's not considered to be the wall. That's mechitzos, that's mechitzda. What about shiurim? When we say shiurim, this is something that we deal with all of the time. What does shiurim mean when we're talking about Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai? So the Gemara in Sukkah also in front of you. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Hei Amud Beis, tells us that again, a similar idea to chatzitza, in the sense that there's a pasuk to teach the din. Here it's the pasuk of Eretz Chito Sora, the Gefen, Uteino V'Rimon, all the way towards the bottom. Eretz Zeh Shemen Udvash. Pasuk tells us in Parshas Ekev that, it's speaking of the Shiva Minim, and Rav Chanin tells us, teaches us that each of the Shiva Minim are mentioned to teach a specific shiur. When we say shiurim, we take each of the Shiva Minim and we say each one, and it's important to get down, that each one of the Shiva Minim is teaching a unique shiur, a unique amount of something that's significant in halacha. For example, chita. So we take each one of the Shiva Minim. Chita. Chita, if one enters a house that has tzara'as, a bias hamanuga, which, by the way, parenthetically, the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Aleph tells us, quotes Rabbi Yochanan, says that these are one of the three things that are lo chayav lo nivra. But even though Parshas Metzora tells us that there's something called the bias hamanuga, that when you get to Eretz Yisrael, dafka Eretz Yisrael, when you get to base Eretz Achuz Aschem, the pasuk in Parshas Metzora tells us that if you have a bias hamanuga, so these are the following halachos. So if you enter a bias hamanuga, a house that has tzaras, with your clothing, he and they, the person and the clothing, are tamei immediately. the amount of time it takes to eat half a loaf of wheat, that's the amount, that's how it brings it back to chita. The amount of time that it takes to eat half a loaf of chita, that is the shear of chita. It's really less than half a loaf. It's what we call bechtei achilas pras. This is all based on the Mishnah in Negayim, all the way at the end of the Masechta in the 13th parak. The Mishnah in Negayim in the 13th parak, Parak Yud Gimel, Mishnah Tes, tells us this exact din of Bayis HaMenuga, that if you stay there for too long, you're Tameh. Saora is that a bone the size of a kernel of barley transmits tumah by touching or carrying it. These are technical halachos, but it's important to know halacha moshvi sinai. I want to get out for the remainder of shir. I want to get out a little bit of the technical halachos of eretz chita saora. We've explained a few of them, and more go to the non technical part of this shir, and that is that we were discussing at the beginning of the shiur of how we're able to authenticate a halacha moshvi sinai. This is important to get down because it also can answer the question of how we know halacha moshvi sinai is true. We know we're doing it correctly, and we know that something is really a halacha moshvi sinai, since the tradition of Bnei Yisrael with certain klalim, with certain rulings of authorized rabbanim, is the true halacha moshvi sinai. Where do we see this? So this we see in the Gemara in Menachos. I don't know if you have it in front of you, but the Gemara, yes, you do. The third source, the third makor on your Mekoros. The Gemara in Menachos tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu ascended to Shamayim, he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting and tying crowns on the letters of the Torah. B'sha'ala Moshe Lamarom, Matzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyoshev V'kosher K'sarim La'osios Amar Lefanav, he said in front of him, Ribono Shel Olam, Mi Ma'akev Al Yadcha. He said to him, who is preventing you from giving the Torah without these additions? Hashem responds, what does Hashem say? Hashem responds, there is a man who is destined to be born after several generations, whose name is Akiva Ben Yosef. Maybe you've heard of this Gemara Menachos Adav Chavtes, where Akiva ben Yosef, Shemo, he is destined to derive many halachos. What are those halachos? That's a reference, of course, to the halacha Moshe Sinai. But he is destined to derive many halachos from each and every thorn of these crowns. It is for his sake that the crowns must be added to the letters of the Torah. And if you look at the Torah, you'll see that the letters of the Torah that have crowns, that have tagin, are Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadi, which spell out Shatnez, Getz. So if you look at the word Shatnez in the Torah, you're thinking that it's a prohibited mixture of wool and linen, Parsis Kiseitse. Only Parsis Kiseitse, just 2 weeks ago. Lo Silvash Shatnez, Tzemer Ufishtim Yachtov. Shatnez, those letters, Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun Zayin, have the tagin, have the crowns, and Gimel Tzadi. But the reason that not every letter has the crowns is because the way we're able to explain is that, you know, it's supposed to be special, it's supposed to be unique, so that Akiva ben Yosef can expound on those letters and learn certain additions from those letters. In fact, right, it's for his sake, it's for Akiva ben Yosef's sake, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the crowns, that the tagin, must be added to the letters of the Torah. The next time that you lean from the Torah, you'll think about this when you see the tagin. Moshe responds in that Gemara, Menachos, Moshe responds, Her'ehu li, so show him to me. Hashem says, Chazor la'acharecha, turn around, look behind you. So Moshe went and sat at the end of the eighth row in Rabbi Akiva's shir, because Rabbi Akiva wasn't just a Talmud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe that it's someone that's going to come several generations following you, and he's going to be a teacher of Torah. He's not going to enter this world, or you're not going to meet him merely as a Talmud, you're going to meet him as a Rebbe. And Moshe Rabbeinu walks in, he sees Akiva ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva, giving shir. He slips in, he sits at the end of the eighth row in Rabbi Akiva's shir, and Moshe didn't understand what they're saying. Akiva ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva, is teaching, far, far be it for me to say, but I'm just saying according to this Gemara, maybe a little bit beyond his comprehension. We don't really believe that, but maybe beyond his understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to convey to Moshe, and what Moshe is trying to understand from Akiva, from Rabbi Akiva. Moshe's strength weakened since he thought his Torah knowledge was insufficient. And when Rabbi Akiva came to give shir, the next day his Talmidim asked, Rebbe, where do you derive your halacha? Rabbi Akiva answers, and this is the Gemara, so take a look. The fourth to bottom line in this Gemara, fourth line from the bottom in the Gemara in Menachos, Amrulo, Talmid of Rebbe, Minayin Lecha, Amar Lahen, Halacha Lamosha Misinai, and what happens after that? Look inside. Nisyashva Daito. Chazar Rabalaf Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Lefan Ribono Shalom, Yesh Lecha Adam Kazeh, Ve'atanos in Torah, Al Yadi, Amar Lo, Shtok, Kach Alav Machshava. Quiet, that is what I was thinking. Moshe heard this, he calmed down, his mind was put at ease, since this too was part of his Mesorah. And the Gemara goes on and says that, Kach alav machshava lefanai, amar lefanav, ribono shlolam, herisani toraso, herani scharo, amar lo, chazor la'achorecha, chazor la'achorav, rosh ashoklin, besarob mikulin, amar lefanav, ribono shlolam, zu torah v'zu schara, which is something that we're going to, People get very emotional when they talk about this, but this is part of the Asara Harugei Malchus that we say in Tefillah twice a year, once in Tisha B'Av and once coming up on Yom Kippur. Of the Asara Harugei Malchus, the 10, and there's a discussion whether they historically, it's assumed that they historically did not overlap. There was some overlap, but that they did not live at exactly the same time. And they had gruesome deaths. And that's one of the lines by Rabbi Akiva that we're going to say in Musaf of Yom Kippur in the Avodah of Zu Torah, of Zu Schara, that they're combing his flesh and they're killing him by combing his flesh. That's the reward for a Talmud Chacham, for one of the Gedolei Ador. Amar Le Shtok, Kach Alav Machshava Lefanai. And this Gemara is used to try to answer. I say answer in air quotes. It's very hard to answer. But to try to explain how terrible things happen to not only good people, but it's not just tzaddik v'ralo, it's also, you know, gedolim v'ralohem. It's the greatest sages of the generation, and they're killed in the most gruesome ways, like we explain in Hasara Ugei Malchus. I want to just point out with that Gemara that there are 31 halacha l'moshe mi-sinai recorded in the Rambam's introduction to his Parish of Mishnayos. People ask the question of how many. So 31 is the standard number we have. And that might seem like a lot, but in the grand scheme and gamut of halachos in general, that's not a lot. But the Chavos Yair of Yair Bachrach, who lived in the 1600s, lived between 1639 and 1702, gives a much more expansive list. Gives a much longer list. The halacha l'moshe mi-sinai is including 61 halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. 61 halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. We're going to continue next week with, the hotter topic. This was more of a technical topic, halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, but it's important for Yediyas HaTorah and part of the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh, the first concept being halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. We're going to continue with next week with a little bit more, pardon me, of an exciting topic, of Parish HaMakubal MiSinai next week here to round out a very successful and productive Elul's month.